we take positions again so that we proceed with the presentation of MDDA. But at the end of the meeting, we'll have to Emmanuel, no, Crispian, can you settle down? At the end of the meeting, so that there is no distortion of facts, because this meeting is a continuous one. We'll then have to summarize the decisions of today. And then we issue a statement. It says that the communications office, I don't know what's going on, Parliament communications. Is there Parliament communications? Yeah. Oh, and then we'll issue a statement on behalf of the committee. And then if you talk, you'll talk on behalf of your party, not on behalf of the committee. Savannah, parties are free to talk, but not distort what we have decided upon here. Minister, over to you. MDDA presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the MDDA, out of the 61 targets, the 61 targets set, 42 were achieved and 19 were not achieved. We did not deal with partially achieved because
someone closed that door. Honourable Fanda, sorry, Minister. On MDDA.
Yes. Chair, I just want to get clarity on the CEO. Who's the acting CEO now who's going to be with Donald Tupuko sending it back to GCIS? And who is going to present?
You know, when when before joining Parliament, I went to a meeting of a sub-region of the ANC, somewhere in the Transkei. And when I was opening a meeting like this, somebody entered the room and raised the hand and asked a question before the meeting starts. And I'll advise that the minister is empowered to tell us as to what is happening, because that question can wait, Honourable Fandeki, so that if the issue of the CEO is not addressed, we then ask the question. There is a minister who is the political head. There is the, like any other entity, there is the chairperson of the board. And thereafter, the, the sequence or the sequence flows to the CEO. But the reason why there is a chairperson of the board is the person who must deal with issues, and then the CEO deals with the detail of the thing. Maybe the minister will cover all those questions. Why don't we? Because it's going to be asked by you now, Honorable Fanda. Are you okay now?
The reason we're asking, I mean, I think with the SABC, we wanted to know who is here, on what basis are they presenting. So I also wanted to know, in terms of the board, who all is here, and if there are apologies from certain board members, which board members are not here and why aren't they here. So I think that's the information that we were trying to request, so it's very clear about who is here and what they're presenting.
Honourable Minister, you are capable of dealing with those issues. Can you start the presentation, and surely those issues, as you have a mandate, you will deal with them.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The acting CEO is Khululwa Seyisi, and he was unable to make it today because he had a sick child. We couldn't bring all members of the board with us because of cost-saving measures. So that was the reason why it is not everybody who is here. As I said earlier on, we had 61 targets set, 42 achieved, and none not achieved were 19. And as I had done last week and again with the SABC, I will give you the indicator and also reasons for failure and interventions to be employed to meet the target. The first one is percentage funded positions filled. And MDDA was supposed to have filled 90% of the approved positions. And a new organogram was approved in quarter four of the previous year, but recruitment in 2016-17 was initially focused on positions covered by funding that had been committed. And recruitment for some positions reporting to the CEO had also been put on hold to enable the permanent CEO to participate in the recruitment process. And with the commitment by two major funders later this year, the focus was intensified on recruiting for all positions in the organogram. Recruitment to fill outstanding positions continue to be focused in 2017-2018. And as I said, with some of the entities, they will fill in all of these positions by November, end of November, but others it will be end of January. Still on human resource management, the performance indicator is to review performance management system. And the target was one, the position of HR was vacant, resulting in capacity constraints within the HR unit. And in 2016-2017, an HR plan was approved, which covers the review of the performance management system with the appointment of the HR manager in quarter one of the 2017-18 financial year. The review of performance management system is being carried out in this financial year. On the next performance indicator, still in sub-program one, which is human resources, the percentage of signed contracts, it was supposed the target was 100%, and the reason for failure is that five staff did not sign performance contracts for quarter four, as they reported to the CEO and HR manager, which were both vacant or partially filled posts, which would mean it was acting people. All staff at the MDDA have signed performance contracts for 2016-2017. The next one is sub-program legal and regulatory affairs, and the indicator was turnaround lead time for contract vetting and approval was 8 weeks, and the vacancies in critical positions placed capacity constraints on the unit, and the position of the legal services, legal and contracts officer is being filled in this financial year as part of the recruitment plan. The next indicator is percentage of litigation cases handled, and the target was 100%. And in 2016-17, there were two cases during that time, and efforts have been made to settle the cases out of court. On performance indicator, under the same sub-program, percentage of policy development and legislative review contributions, which was set at 100%, and while there was no call for policy development and legislative review contributions from the shareholder, the other legislation was reviewed, which may have impacted on the on community media. The position of legal and contracts officer is being filled, which will also take care of this indicator and ensure that it is fulfilled. On financial administration and auxiliary services, we have the number of incidents of irregular, unauthorized, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, taking it down to zero as being the target. And the main reason why we had not achieved this was the extension of contracts and vacancies at the agency and communication breakdown in the implementation of the CSD system. And there was no fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The filling of vacancies in 2017-18, as well as other interventions such as training and development, keeping abreast of National Treasurer circulars will reduce these incidents. Under risk management and internal audit, the performance indicator was an updated and approved assurance plan. The target was one, and there were vacancies in key critical positions, and the recruitment for positions was prioritized with internal audit officer and risk management specialist joining the MDDA towards the end of quarter four. On community broadcast sub-program, which is community broadcast media, the number of community television stations supported for strengthening was four. There were limited applications from community radio stations. The MDDA has adopted a proactive approach to engage with these sectors to identify where support for community TV is required. And on community broadcast, still the other one is a percentage of community broadcast funds disbursed, and it is set at 80%. And the reason for the failure was that beneficiary projects and non-performance and late reporting has negatively impacted on the MDDA's ability to adequately disburse funds to these beneficiaries. The MDDA has carried out a root cause analysis into the reason why various projects defect and fail to report adequately and on time as required by the grant agreement. It is anticipated that with the increased training and increased monitoring of the projects, this will improve compliance. On digital media, the performance indicator is that 70% of disbursement of funds must be approved, and the beneficiary projects and the MDDA has carried out a root cause analysis as well. It is the same as above. The concept document on the review of the MDDA Act to be submitted. A concept document has been developed but waiting for the MDDA impact study and the Department of Communications Print Media Transformation Study for greater in-depth analysis. But both studies will be available in 2017-18 and the outcomes will be used to finalize the concept document. On MDDA digital migration strategy approved, which was one. Both studies will be available in 2017-18 and the outcomes will be used to finalize the concept document along with the input from the MDDA supported online project. On the number of media awards held, it was one. The media awards were delayed as a result of outcomes of the study on awards for community-based media, which was completed in quarter four. A revamped approach to media awards, taking into consideration the study findings, will be launched. And on capacity building, number of partnership agreements with credited learning institutions and training institutions per province, which was set at four. The capacity building projects were deferred to end of quarter three until the outcome of the MDDA impact study. The impact study will be finalized at the end of October 2017, and the results will be used to establish appropriate training partnerships for 2017-2018. Again, on building capacity, the number of MOUs signed with partners that enhance our project's environment, the number was set at four. Capacity building projects were deferred to end of quarter three until the outcome of the impact study. So all of this really is dependent on the finalization of the impact study and its implementation. It would be the same as well with the number of training interventions on finance, marketing, reporting, governance, learning forum, and grant orientation workshops. The number of media literacy workshops conducted, it was supposed to be one, and lack of capacity in the unit due to the vacancies. And then on number of media exchange programs conducted, one, and the lack is due to capacity in the unit as well. And the filling of the vacant post in the research and capacity building unit was prioritized with an additional officer recruited in quarter four, and also was the case with the director as well for capacity building, which was also finalized in quarter four. That will be all, Chairperson.
Okay. You Yeah, okay, Minister, you can now can do the right thing. Delegate.
Yes, it will be the chairperson that will be giving the presentation.
Thank you, Minister. I think the presentation by the Minister...
Chairperson, kalu kanenzela request you banning obani.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. With me, I'm the Chair of the Board, MTDA, and I have four colleagues with me. Musa Sashan is also another board member. Cheryl is the Head of Communication. Trevor is the Acting CFO, and Sibongile is the Head of HR. As we indicated, there's an apology from the Acting CEO.
There are two board members appointed by the President.
Yes, in fact, that's my first line, that we're coming to present to you now with a curating board from slide 7. So we have a fully curating board, which has always been the issue. So in essence, when the curating board actually met, a week later, we met as the board to address the issues of backlog, which are related with our projects. And in essence now, part of that meeting was also discussing what are the things that we need to do to ensure that we build the stability of the organization. And that takes me into slide... because amongst the key things that we have lost some time in relation to what are the things that we need to do in relation to stabilization. I think the first issue there is that the board took a decision that we need to stabilize the organization. One of the things we need to do is to complete the recruitment process, which is actually completed from our side, and as per MOI or a shareholder agreement compact with the minister, we've already submitted the recommended candidate, and she's considering that, and we're hoping in 2 months' time we should have a CEO, which we believe is a critical position for us to be able to build a stable organization. I think the second issue that we're raising is that we actually need to be able to, part of rebuilding the organization is to get an external facilitated process between the board and staff and begin to look at some of the issues that the concerns seem to be, the staff seem to be concerned about, and look a better way of resolving them. Then the other issue is the stakeholder engagement. We are of the view that part of stabilizing the organization and rebuilding its reputation and public trust is that we must interact with our stakeholders so that we clarify to them where the organization is and what are the key things that we need to do. We're going to be setting up an inter-steering committee between ICASA and CENTEC and ourselves and DOC to address the issues that are specifically affecting the broadcasting sector. We are also planning within this current financial year a community media endeavor to address sustainability issues that are related with the sector. And then the other issue is really media engagement, to ensure that there's more that we actually provide leadership. I think when we appeared before the portfolio committee, before we actually spoke about the five-year plan, and amongst the key things is to position MDDA as a thought leadership on issues of media development and diversity, but as well as transformation. We will pursue the partnership with MacCita to actually fund, support the training and development and skills development of the sector. The second one is that we had just been in the process of concluding the MOU with the Competition Commission on the establishment of the Economic Development Fund to ensure that we support the transformation of the sector, and as well as ensure that we properly support the broadcasting sector. I think the issue that came out very clearly on the report that the Minister had just presented, it's the role of the social impact study, because we believe that it's one evidence-based and scientific document that will help us to begin to refine and reposition the organization, both in terms of our own interventions, but as well as in terms of our responsiveness and how do we craft a responsive training program. And hence, because amongst the feedback we'd received
in one of our research programs was that our capacity development program is not responsive sufficiently, and in essence, we thought that we needed to do something that is evidence-based. There are two slides, members, which is, I'm taking back and forth, which is on the slide 8, 9, and 10, which looks at specific ages, specific AG report in terms of what are the things that we want to do there. And I think we will include, because it's part of, it also includes part of our corrective measures in relation to the findings of the AG. We will deal with them when we talk about the financing, the finance, when I was acting CFO, we're dealing with the financing. I'm now going to hand over to Ms. Cheryl, who will then just highlight the performance areas just in addition to what the minister presented, and she will start from slide 14.
Good morning. Thank you very much. On slide 14, we just give a breakdown of the achievement and non-achievement of targets per program. And what I'd like to point out is that our core program of grant and seed funding, we achieved 10 out of 13 of the indicators, which we feel is important that we pursue achievement in that area. The other area is capacity building, which the Minister already mentioned. We have put projects on hold at the end of December awaiting the results of the impact study, but we did actually in the first three quarters obviously did run capacity building interventions. The next slide just gives the overall audit outcome, and the OG audited two programs for performance information, and program two, which is grants and seed funding, was qualified, which was a change status. It was qualified due to a finding on one of the 13 key performance indicators, which was the number of indirect jobs. This was due to the AG feeling that we didn't show sufficient evidence for our achievement. In the next few slides, I'm going to go through really briefly, but just key achievements. The first one is we've approved more community media projects in the last year than we did in any previous year since it awarded its first project in 2004. And in line with the mandate, these projects were very much weighted towards rural areas where the majority of historically disadvantaged communities are. In terms of funding, once again, we raised more money in the 1 year than we have in a single year since the establishment of the NDDA. The three major funders are Marty Chase, SABC, and the DAC. Marty Chase gave us an additional discretionary amount in about September last year, in addition to renewing the contract, funding contract. Another achievement was our social integration. This started off with the presidential project between Mamelodi and Esterus based on Port FM, and we have since expanded this initiative to the Western Cape with a social integration project between Khayelitsha and Guguletu based on Radio Banana. In terms of capacity building, we've just listed some of the projects that we did, and these range from science reporting through to gender-based violence awareness reporting through to the press code e-learning. Stakeholder achievement, we have started a pilot outreach to raise awareness of the MDDA in community media, and we're also engaging with key stakeholders just to mobilize support for the community media amongst our stakeholders, such as we started engaging with SALGA to identify a way forward to how they can assist community media, not only with advertising support, but with other assistance, such as use of premises. In terms of research, we concluded three important studies. One was, we commissioned the impact study, which is due this month. We concluded a study on community media awards, And we also did a study on best practice towards supporting social integration. And this was around the social integration project in Khayelitsha and Bugulethu. If we go to the detailed program performance, slide 23 just gives you a breakdown of the amount approved for the current year in the core projects of grant and seed funding and research training and capacity building. You can see the majority of MDDA funds, the vast majority goes to these projects. And we just showed the amount paid for the current year. Just note that this is the first tranche that we pay on projects approved during that year. We obviously paid out additional funds as continuing tranches in, for projects approved previously. The reasons for non-achievement falls into three major areas of targets. It's basically the projects are beneficiaries, non-performance or late reporting, and that affected our disbursement of funds, as the Minister already mentioned. The second one is the finalization of the MDDA impact study. We believe it will have a number of findings that will assist us in our initiatives going forward. And the third one is a lack of capacity, which did hinder a lot of our targets and various of our programs. This slide just shows, slide 25 just shows a geographic spread of projects to show that we do try to cover all nine provinces. Obviously, there are some provinces we still need to give greater attention to. Slide 26 just gives you an example of a broadcast project we supported last year. It's MASH FM, and we just wanted to indicate how we are trying to deliver on our mandate and the type of projects we select in terms of language diversity, in terms of historically disadvantaged, in terms of supporting youth. This list, as I said, we focused on our core projects in this presentation. The Minister has already gone through the reasons for non-achievement. There were only two of the targets here which weren't achieved. You'll see we overachieved, we exceeded, and that was due to the funding that we received from the MOU we entered into with the DSC to manage projects that had applied directly to the DOC for upgrading studio equipment to digital equipment. So that was something we entered into last year and we hadn't planned for the year before. In terms of turning now to print and digital media, once again, this is an example of a newspaper that we have supported and how it meets our mandate. It's owned by a publisher from a historically disadvantaged background, circulated in the rural areas, and it has provided jobs for four young aspiring journalists and also provides training opportunities for the youth. Similarly, in print and digital media, one target we didn't meet, and the reason for that has already been outlined. It's a disbursement of funds. And our capacity building performance, we didn't achieve any of our targets due to the decision towards the end of Q3, but as I mentioned before, we had done a considerable amount of training and interventions in the first three quarters. So even though we haven't achieved, we do reflect that there are training interventions that we carried out. So in the next slide, it just gives you slides, the training and the research projects we supported, the dates and obviously the amount funded. Shows you also, the diversity and the type of training we do provide from governance through to topics such as gender-based violence. I won't go through these slides because these are the targets not achieved, so I'll just leave those out. And we now turn to human resources, and my colleague, the human resources and corporate affairs manager, will speak on that.
Just before the human resources, what?
And corporate affairs.
And corporate affairs. You didn't respond to the board chair. You didn't respond to the question. Where are the new board members who are recently appointed by the president? When I was trying to respond to some of the questions, I said those will be attended to. But I'm now happy that at least you part of the presentation will be done by the human resource person, the employee of MDDA. Because I think we really need to balance that, so that it's just that I don't know who's there in terms of management or in terms of the hierarchy. This is what I wondered. In terms of the hierarchy, after the chair of the board and members of the board, there is CEO, and then below CEO, there is a whole range of other people who are employed by MDDA. And the expectation is that those people take part in presenting to the committee. I'm not sure if members are listening to my issues, because it's exactly what that was the line of questions from Honorable Van Damme and Honorable Van Dijk. I know those two members are newly appointed, and I thought members of the board as a collective will say, board members so and so, particularly the new ones who were just appointed, in terms of apologies. Can you go ahead, chair of the board, on that, unless there is somebody else who's going to do that.
Chair, let me just say the minister had responded on the absence of the.
I could call.
Yes.
I'm very sorry. It looks like even other members didn't get that.
Yes.
What was the minister saying?
The minister was saying, due to cost, because remember the last time the committee had asked us that we must not bring a big delegation. That's one. I think the other thing is that when one of the members of the board who works for GCIS was here presenting, the committee congratulated that member, which is Ms. Tasneem Karim. Yes. And then the second issue, Church, just to say, Cheryl is the head of communication, so she's an employee, she's not a board member. Yes. And she was presenting on the substance.
Ah, it's another good colleague.
Yes, Minister.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable Members. I will be giving a summary of the personal information for 2016-17. In our slides, we start with the team that met the committee sometime in March. Thank you for the visit, committee members. In 2016-17, the MDDA had 39 funded posts. Of those funded posts, 25 were filled, and one was filled in a fixed-term contract. 14 posts remained vacant in 2016-17. We had one acting position, being the acting CFO. Of the vacant posts, we now know to date that recruitment processes have been finalized for the CEO. We are moving with speed to focus on filling the post of the Chief Financial Officer, notwithstanding the fact that we are also paying attention to filling other posts in other sub-programs, and there is progress in our detailed recruitment plan. Under recruitment and terminations, in the year under review, we had nine appointments, which were done in 16-17, and this is a huge improvement if you compare with the year 15-16, where there were only five appointments in the year. In the same year, we had two terminations, one being a resignation and the one being a contract termination. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Go ahead, Tuti.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. I'll now take you through the audit outcome and the financial report for the MDDA. For the 2016-17 year, MDDA achieved an unqualified audit opinion, and this was the same as the report which was received in the previous year, 2015-16. So a lot of work was done to maintain the outcome, but then ideally we are aiming to achieve a clean audit status in the years that are coming. Now focusing on the three areas that the AGSA were looking at, in terms of the financial statements, the feedback that we received was that the overall quality of the financial statements has improved, and there were minor amendments that were made to the financial report, and these are covering intangibles and trade payables. But this resulted in a paragraph being taken out of the audit report, which is an accomplishment from the previous year. But where we fell short was in two areas, and this was mainly around the compliance with laws and regulations. Our control environment was really tested in the last financial year, and the feedback that we received was that we still need to improve on compliance with laws and regulations, and specific focus being on supply chain management. I'll talk to the interventions that we have currently put in place around supply chain management, but we have drawn up an action plan and delegated to all managers the key areas of focus that will seek to improve the audit opinion for the 2017-18 financial year. On performance information, as alluded to by Cheryl, it was one of the key performance targets in the core programs that the information that we supplied, AG did not have the comfort that the measurement basis was reliable. Moving on to slide 40, we have prepared for the committee an analysis of the areas that the AG raised findings that were contained in our management report. So this is an internal management report which was highlighting the areas of focus for the agency. You'll see there that in total, it's 30 findings. This was a slight improvement from the previous year because we had 36 findings in 2015-16 that made their way to the management report. But what I'd like to say is of the 30 findings, three findings affected the final audit report, and this is around supply chain and the indirect jobs one, as previously alluded. But most of the issues that have been raised around human resources, performance information, and financial management, but on an administrative level, as then internal control deficiencies. So there is work being put in place to turn around the agency to improve this. And then on slide 41, what we have done in the interim is to assign key areas of focus to the respective offices to make sure that there's a focus in improving the areas that the Auditor General has identified. One of the areas that we are putting a lot of effort in is improving record management system. The turnaround time in document submission was a bit of a challenge during this audit, but we are trying to improve our processes internally to have electronic and hard copy backup information so that upon request within a year or 2 years down the line, we are able to provide this information in good time. In terms of the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, the main focus that has been given to me is on ensuring compliance with supply chain regulations and making sure that we stay abreast with the circulars that National Treasury issues and the impact thereof on the business. In terms of contract management, this is also one of the areas that we're trying to focus on to make sure that we clean up our contract register. Most of the findings that find their way to as irregular are based on contract management. So we were trying to make sure that a whole system approach is taken to make sure that it's an integrated system that covers all the areas that affect the business as a whole. And then in terms of HR, I think my colleague has mentioned that we are making a lot of there's a lot of work in progress to fill in the vacant positions. I think a total of 9 positions were filled in the last year, but there are still some vacancies and they're at critical levels. So these are in the process of being filled. And then on performance information, it's mainly ensuring that we improve how we set our targets and making sure that before the annual performance plans are actually approved by Parliament, one of the steps that we've taken now is to make sure that there's engagement with with the Auditor General so that they look at our APP to make sure that the issue of definitions of targets and compliance in terms of SMART is met at an approval stage. And then if we go on to our next slide, this is now looking at the financial report. And one of the areas, as I've previously highlighted, that MDDA fell short of was the issue of irregular expenditure. Now, a lot of work was done in terms of capacitating the supply chain unit, but we were unfortunate in the 2016-17 year because there were a number of significant changes on a national scale that affected our internal processes. So one of those was in the beginning of the 2016-17 financial year, National Treasury actually implemented a central supplier database. So the spirit of the CSD essentially is to standardize the procurement process across all organs of state, and we gladly adhered to this. But from the audit by the Auditor General of National Treasury and the CSD in specific, it was highlighted that some of the checks that CSD was actually intended to do, such as your BEE verification and your service and state status of bidders, and the system is not yet at that level, and therefore a manual system was required to be done by entities. So at the time of awarding quotations, even if you get the 3 codes from the CSD, there's an additional requirement that an entity was supposed to get certified copies of BE certificates from the bidders. So that is one aspect that we fell short of because we had the CSD reports that indicated BE status and what we used to evaluate. So the learning from here was that, and what we've implemented is to make sure that there's a parallel process of supplier verification to strengthen our internal compliance around procurement and expenditure management, and also making sure that the 2 supply chain officers attend regular trainings with National Treasury. In the 2016-17 financial year, we're happy to report that there was no fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This was an improvement from the previous financial year where we had 1 million fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Sorry. At the end of the 2016-17 year, in terms of contingent liabilities and litigations, there were 2 cases that the legal unit was working on, and one is a labor court dispute with a former employee, and then the other was a contractual dispute with a supplier for broadcast equipment. The next slide really focuses on what we are trying to do to improve the area where we fell short in terms of procurement management. And as a first step, because the audit was completed in July 2017, and the recommendation was that we need to look at our contracts register. The contracts that have been deemed as irregular, we needed to take steps to terminate those and start a new process of request for quotations and advertise for tenders if there's a contract that is above 500,000. So what we have done to date, honorable members, is for one of the contracts that was identified for courier services, we've actually written to National Treasury, and we have been given permission to participate in the transversal contract for courier services, and we're using that contract that National Treasury has approved. And then in terms of the broadcast equipment and the printing of leases, we've advertised in the Government Gazette last week for those tenders to be participated in by bidders, and we hope that this will improve in terms of that aspect. There's still a lot of work that we're doing now in the background to discuss with other suppliers that are also on the register and inform them of the process that we're taking forward to improve. But we've also started the manual verification of supplier BE points by requesting that suppliers submit their certified copies of the BE certificates and SBD forms at the time of bidding for work at the MDDA. And as I've alluded to earlier, it's mainly around educating the staff within the unit and keeping abreast of the SCM regulations. So we're in constant communication with the team from Treasury just to make sure that we are available and there's someone who is representing the agency in the trainings that National Treasury is engaging with. And then from an operational perspective, we have been, we will also be looking at the review of our delegations to make sure that this is aligned to operational requirements and to improve on compliance with those delegations. And then our next report is focusing on the use of consultants in the 2016-17 financial year. And I'd like to just inform the committee that the main reason for the use of consultants in the agency was attributed to the 36% vacancy rate at the end of the year. But the plan is to make sure that all the work that is done by the agency is done in-house. In the internal audit unit, for the greater part of the year, except until February 2017, there were no staff in the internal audit unit. They were using the services of a core source firm, but we managed to appoint an internal audit officer and a risk management specialist in February. So that is only towards the end of the year. But this is a positive step in capacitating the unit. And then in terms of human resources, as the colleagues have alluded to, there's a new permanent human resources and corporate affairs manager, as well as the human resources officer that have been placed in those positions in the unit. And then in terms of the finance, it was also a similar situation. There was only one internal staff member was on a permanent basis, but then now currently there are three of us, and the process of recruiting a CFO is in place. And then the last one where we use the services of consultants was on the annual report design. So this will take quite some time because it includes printing and design of the actual annual report. So we are trying to get to a phase where we do most of the work internally to reduce the cost, but the printing facility will need to still have that done externally. And then our last slide.
No, that's fine. We said half past one.
Okay.
You'll have to conclude when we come back from lunch.
Thank you.
Otherwise, they should have been done long time ago. Members will break for lunch until 2:15. So we'll have to be here at 2:15.